Continuing where I left off last time on the issue, Satan's Device, on my website, authorityresearch.com. You can email me at deangocher@gmail.com. I'll start with the scriptures that I start with all programs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is discussion. And lean not to your own understanding is dialogue. Continuing on page 24. Jürgen Habermas, he was a member of the Frankfurt School, a young man at the time, youngest one of the group. His language is essential for the world court system. Probably the most eloquent of all the Marxists in his writing. Evil, diabolical, subtle, thorough. In his work, Knowledge and Human Interest, Chapter 3, The Idea of the Theory of Knowledge as Social Theory, he makes this quite revealing statement. In the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself and the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. That's what's happening in the group grade system. In other words, your identity with the other person based on the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, self-interest, is what bonds people together. What can I get out of this relationship for myself? Irvin Laszlo, in A Strategy for the Future, The Systems Approach to World Order, which we get climate change from this man. He was essential for the Rio conference. He lays out the healthy world, what has to happen to create it. It's pretty alarming read. We're now experiencing his writing. But he explains the necessity of the consensus process. Because in the consensus process, there's no father's authority that is involved in an outcome. The father's authority, God, the parents are excluded from where the world is going. The citizen himself is no longer of value. It's in fact, the group is considered a person. So the corporations are a person. And so you might, as a person, make a standard. Discussion is establish command, rule, facts, and truth. But the person in the corporate, in the group, you might be in that group yesterday, but the group that meets today have different people, and they will set different laws. So everything is subject to change. There is no guarantee that what you came up with in the meeting the yesterday is going to be the meeting outcome today. And so the consensus process is never established to an established command, rule, fact, or truth. It is always subject to change to whoever wants to change it. There is no governance. There is no higher authority above the group establishing right and wrong behavior. It is pure tyranny, pure anarchy, pure revolution, pure rebellion, justified. Quote, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. In other words, bypassing any discussion. A man I knew said, they'll take your council off to a conference and they'll come back with a lobotomy. You can't talk to them anymore. Because in the consensus process, I feel and I think dialogue is the language to produce an outcome. And there's no guilty conscience in that outcome. So when you confront somebody who's now making laws that you sent to represent you, to represent your position, which is discussion, and they come back and you want to have a discussion with them that you might have had before, they can't handle it. They can't handle it. They require you to dialogue with them, which means you have no standard to protect you from where they're taking you. And so that's the breakdown of the language. This is why God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, because they were now equal with God. In the dialogue, you're equal with God. There is nothing higher than you. You are God. Now, in a collective sense, see, you find your godness in the other person, and they find their godness in you. Now we have unity. That's the consensus process. So he writes, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making, bypassing the parents in the group grade classroom, making objective centers upon transforming public opinion, the group's opinion, into effective instrument of global politics. In other words, everybody on the face of the earth has lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That is the common denominator. So it doesn't matter where you go in the world, this is the standard. This is dialoguing opinions to a consensus is the procedure. No outcome can be established without going through that procedure, period. It excludes the Father's authority. Individualism under God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. There is no Father's authority. Therefore, no need of a Savior because there's no law to disobey that's established. Because laws are always subject to change. Whatever that next consensus meeting produces as law is a law for the day. Individual values, he says, must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests, transforming public consensus into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. I call it worldly peace and socialist harmony. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. So you sell your soul to the facilitator of change and you sell your soul to the political system. When you're chasing a child, that's a political system. You give them a command and you enforce it. That's a political system. In this process, it comes from within. It's all subjective. But what everybody has in common, the lust, flesh, lust, the eyes, only that which is of the world, is the political system. And anybody who comes in with absolutes is an odd man out. It is a precondition of all future steps. Karl Marx, Feuerbach thesis number 11, which is inscribed on his tomb. This is the last of the theses. It says, the philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, has changed. Well, the parents, if I have 20 students in my classroom coming from 20 different homes with 20 different standards, now, see, those are philosophers. See, those parents in this mindset are the ones who decide right and wrong behavior. And so if the children, the 20 students, are loyal to their parents, they're not going to get along with one another because they're divided based upon their parents' standards. And so he's saying the philosophers have all interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, is change. Change is stimulus response. If whoever comes into the room brings you pleasure, that's good. If whoever brings pain or interferes with pleasure, that's bad. And so right and wrong, good and bad, is now based upon feelings rather than any established commands, rules, facts, and truth. The Bible says turning good into evil and evil into good. This is how it's done. You put dialogue in the place of discussion. And that which is good is now evil, and that which is evil is now good. That's the result. Pretty simple, but it's subtle. In other words, it is the Father's authority system, the Father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, which differ from father to father that divides the people. It is, and that's nationalism. Nations have different cultures. Communities have different cultures. It is the child, and this is called a culture war. It's a destroying of culture. The local is gone. It is in the child's propensity to respond or change in accordance to the situation or object, people, or person in the moment that is the objective of life. In other words, approach pleasure, avoid pain. That's the objective of life. Get up in the morning, you want to have a good day. A good day is a pleasurable day. A good day is not doing the Father's will. Without the help of the facilitator of change, though, the children remain subject to the Father's authority system. This won't work without the serpent in the garden. It won't work without the facilitator of change. The facilitator of change. This is important. This is the definition of that man or woman who stands in front of the group or is mingling amongst the groups. This is what's going on. The facilitator of change, perceiving himself or herself as being the personification of the people who, like him, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates, hating restraint, that's the heart. The heart is deceitful, thinking pleasure is a standard for life and not doing the Father's will, and desperately wicked because when the Father comes in to take the pleasure away, to take the lust away, then the heart is wicked. It'll destroy the parent. And this is, they hate restraint. So it sees it as its duty to justify the people's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify his natural inclination to lust after pleasure. He's not there for this group. The group is there for him. If he can get the group into dialogue, he's going to justify their lusts and they will worship him. It's all about him. That's the lie. They come in and say, we care about you. They don't care about you. They care about themselves. In dopamine, the child is not in love. See, the child is not in love with a toy or the object, a people or person. They're in love with the dopamine. The toy stimulates. The toy is expendable, has no value in itself. It's the pleasure, imagined or real, that is the value of life. When you question the facilitator of change's action, he will respond with, it's not just about you. Really meaning, and here it is, this is the definition of every facilitator of change, including a minister that comes in with dialogue in the church. Ask you, Sunday school teacher, ask you how you feel, what do you think about the Word of God, making you equal with God. It's all about them. It is, and this is what they're saying. They won't say it, but this is what they're saying. It's all about me. So I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience. With your affirmation. If you refuse to affirm me, that is my lust, or get in my way, the people will remove or negate you, since having justified their lust, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for my good. This is the meaning, the true meaning of site-based management. The Antichrist cannot rule without the people using dialogue when it defining and establishing behavior. This is Bloom's taxonomies. Every teacher in this nation certified, every school accredited based upon the application of Genesis 3, 1 through 6 in the classroom. Not only in the United States, but around the world, including communist China. It is Marxist curriculum. Nobody's addressed it. By justifying their natural inclination to lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates, that the current situation and or object or person or people are stimulating, he owns them. By justifying their lust, he owns them, using them as human resource. See, that's buying and selling of souls. With them following and serving and supporting and protecting and defending and praising and worshiping him, willingly killing without having a guilty conscience, and dying for him, dying in their sins. That's the outcome of the facilitator of change guiding the group. The serpent in the garden guiding the woman or the children. John, 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How do you overcome this process? There's only one way: in Christ Jesus. He's the only one who walked on the face of the earth that did not participate in dialogue. Not one day, not one moment. It was total discussion before the Father. While dialogue, when used to define and establish behavior, redeems us from the Father's authority, reconciling us to the world, Christ Jesus, by taking our place on the cross, redeemed us from eternal damnation, the lake of fire that is never quenched, by his shed blood, with the Father raising from the grave, reconciling us to himself. With us, what's the reward? Receiving eternal life. You discuss the Word of God with the Word of God having the final say. To dialogue, add your opinion or someone else's opinion. So-and-so says. See, everybody went to college, went to seminary thinking I was going to study the Word of God. I was studying everybody's opinion of the Word of God. So-and-so says, so-and-so says, so-and-so says. I think, I feel. instead of reading it and applying it and allow the Holy Spirit to work through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can only work with the Word of God. To dialogue, add your opinion or someone else's opinion to it makes you or them God, breaking the first commandment. For example, using the Word of God itself, there are two paths which have been taken down through the ages. Those who use discussion, retaining the integrity of the original manuscripts. In other words, whoever copied the originals, their intent was to make sure that what you read today are the same words. Like if you go to the Greek and Hebrew, the same characters as the original manuscripts. That's the result of discussion. Did so-and-so say this? The text has the final outcome. You have to match the text. This is known as the textus receptus. That's the Greek and the Hebrew of Strong's Concordance. And those who use dialogue change the original manuscripts to fit with contemporary society. I've written an article on textus receptus, and I go into detail. Origen and others of the Alexandrian, the Gnostic, the Catholic texts, and now they're in seminary, the Metzger, Allen, Nestle texts, which all contemporary Bibles are translated from and are used in seminary to train up ministers as facilitators of change. I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They're going to have 600 people meet that night, Sunday night, to hear me. I had been there before. And Sunday morning, I brought up this issue. The Lord leads you. I didn't know what I was going to say. And all of a sudden, I started explaining the Textus Receptus versus the 1880 Westcott and Hort that were all in conflict with one another. And that is the basis of the Metzger and Allen and Nestle Greek. And anybody who questions them are odd man out. Because this is what they do. They force dialogue. See, all contemporary Bibles are translated from them and are used in seminary to train up ministers as facilitators of change. Whoever defines terms for you controls your life. In discussion, the Father defines terms for you. In dialogue, the facilitator of change, Satan, the seducer, deceiver, and manipulator of men, defines the terms for you. The Protestant Reformation, that is the priesthood of all believers, putting no man between you and God, doing your best as unto the Lord, was built upon the translations from the Textus Receptus, the King James, Geneva, Tyndale. Now, Tyndale, instead of saying church, he used the right word, assembly, congregation. Ecclesia is congregation, assembly. Church is a pagan word. Church is under the government. Congregation, assembly, is not. And so even King James did not want the word congregation or assembly used. He wanted the word church. And even Luther was caught up in this carrick because the king would not have participated in supporting the movement if he was odd man out, if he was going to be judged from God's word. And bishop, King James said, no bishop, no king. Well, it's shepherd, it's pastor. So it's a small group of people all over the world. And so they had to have the bishop, which is a political system, top-down system. So it's the words you use in the translation, and there are several words that King James required to be used to keep power over the church. Contemporary translations reject the Textus Receptus. Just go to seminary and try to support yourself on the Textus Receptus. Wow. As their source from which to translate from, using heretical sources instead of having brought confusion, the opinions of men, into the church. Their intended agenda. Now Luther, using the Textus Receptus, he could say this: miserable Christians whose words and faith still depend upon the interpretation or opinions of men. He rejected the Catholic Bible because he found in the libraries, as he's doing research, they would take a verse, they take words out, contemporize them, change them, make them situational, put words back in, and then everything was now an opinion. And so you had to go to an expert to define the word for you because it, left by itself, will define itself. And the Holy Spirit will confirm it. But the Holy Spirit will not confirm your opinion of the Word of God. And that was what the Catholic Church did. Now, the Protestant church is now Catholic because they have brought these Catholic, the Sinaiticus Alpha, Vatican Bay, and Codex X, they have brought those documents into the church, Catholic sources, through the contemporary Bibles. Now, this, and I'm not saying you can't come to the Lord with them, but it's like stillbirth. You can't go deep in them because the deeper you go, the more confusion you get because they're men's opinion. The scriptures are common to all. This is what Luther said. Let me start over. Miserable Christians whose words and faith still depend on the interpretation or the opinions of men and who expect clarification from them. This is frivolous and ungodly. The scriptures are common to all and are clear enough in respect to what is necessary for salvation and are also obscure enough for inquiring minds. Let us reject the word of men, the opinions of men. Luther considered Calvin of the devil because he set up a logic, the Institute, a logic of the word of God. No, the Holy Spirit works with the word of God. He doesn't work with our systematic, scientific formulas of the word of God. God is a living God. He's not a formula. There's no such thing as formula Christianity. There's no intellectual assent before God. It is by faith and faith alone. Now, Luther also writes, I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and press them on the young students. Wow, that doesn't even go on in our Christian colleges. Are wide gates to hell. I would advise no one to send their child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. That includes high school and grade school. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's word become corrupt. Max Horkheimer, he was director of the Frankfurt School for a while. In his book, they've left it in German, but you can read his title, Reasoning and Self-Preservation, which is what it is in the English. He makes this declaring statement. Protestantism was the strongest force in the extension of cold, rational individualism. This is where we got individualism under God. One nation under God was from the Protestant Reformation. Nowhere else. That's what the Supreme Court judge was referring to. Max Horkheimer was director of the Frankfurt School for a time. A group of Marxists who came to the States in the early 30s entered our universities and assisted our government from the federal level down. They couldn't start with the local up. They started with the federal, and then whoever develops the test controls the outcome. And so the federal tests control the outcome. You take the test, you're changed. So if you take a test that is opinion-based and treat it as a fact, it changes you. And so from the federal level down, in making laws, pushing and changing process or Marxism down the throats of Americans, it was the effect of Protestantism, individualism under God, that they were most dedicated in negating. The use of Aristotle, create a healthy environment, you create a healthy person, that stimulus response, was what the Protestant Reformation rejected. Nothing in the creation can change a man's heart. Nothing. Only the work of Christ. And Christ alone can change a man's heart. Anyone who has been exposed to and participated in the praxis of psychology is damaged goods. To participate is to deny the Father. You cannot praxis psychology and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. One's discussion, the other's dialogue. Despite your denial of it, there is no such thing as a Christian psychologist. There is only a psychologist who is deceiving himself and others in believing that he is a Christian, when in truth he is practicing Satan's way of thinking. Read my issue, The Curse of Psychology. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift from God, not of works. There's nothing you can do, lest any man should boast. Just give up early. Just give up early. As one minister, James Borchert, would say. John 3:14-21. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. It was already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You cannot do psychology and truly believe in the Lord because you're going to do the Father's will. And you don't need I feel and I think to do that. If you go I feel and I think, you're God. It's not going to work. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. The scriptures say, beware that the darkness within you, or the light within you, be not darkness. Where is the light within you? It's your I feel and I think. It's your lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life. That's darkness. And see, that light, Christ is coming to the world and men love darkness, love themselves, love their dialogue rather than light. Doing what their father said. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. The heart is deceitful above all things, thinking pleasure, dialogue, and hating discussion. Hating the light, hating the Father having the final say. Doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. On the day of judgment, your opinion does not count. You can jump out of a plane 20,000 feet and say you don't believe in gravity. Leave the parachute behind. As long as you're falling, you're okay, but eventually you're meeting an object. And the next breath you take is a gift from God. Every breath you've ever taken is a gift from God, and every breath you will take is a gift from God. And you can say, well, I don't believe that. Fine. As long as you're breathing, you're okay. But when you take that last breath, you're meeting an object. You're meeting God. And he's going to judge you on what you're thinking and saying with your next breath. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Romans 5:8-10. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm giving you an answer to the dialectic process. Teachers come up and say, what do we do? What do we do? Halfway through meetings, they're in tears. The first time I mentioned Bloom's Taxonomy, I could take a picture of the audience and I could circle the teachers because they're all smiling. Oh, that's my Bible. Somebody's going to talk about it. Something new. What am I going to learn new today about it? And then expose it. I've done this in liberal universities to have the professors at the end, to my amazement, tell the whole class and me, not in private, but the whole class, we cannot refute a word you said. And so it's all about confessing your sins before God and stop doing it. Stop the dialogue. Stop the I feel and I think when God comes and tells you what to do. The soul knows by being told, the flesh by sense experience. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing. There it is. Discussion. Dad said, it's written. The temptations, Jesus goes 3 times, it is written, it is written, it is written. God says, Dad says. Never dialogue. He doesn't go, I believe. See, churches do doctrine. We believe, we believe, we believe. Well, every church goes, we believe, we believe. It's just an opinion. You have your opinion, I have mine. No, just quote the word of God. I tell churches to do that, and some of them have. And when you read their bylaws, it's conviction. The Holy Spirit works with the word of God, not your opinion of it. That's a trickery. See, you sing that song, I believe Jesus is the Lord of Lords, I believe. Leave that I believe out next time and just sing, Jesus is the Lord of Lords. All of us, there's a total change in the message. When you're singing, just leave your opinion out. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, see, when Dad tells you something, it's even in the secular world. 2 + 2 = 4 cannot be any other number. You accept that by faith because you trust in the person. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jeremiah 17:5-7. Cursed be the man that trusts in man, and maketh his flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Apart from God and his word, are you reading it daily, applying it to your heart and soul, dying to your lust daily, rejecting the lust of others, rejecting the approval and praises of men? You're not letting what's going to happen to me. Well, first of all, you're not letting what can I get out of this situation or this group for myself. See, that's the praises of men. Because then you're going, what's going to happen to me if they turn on me? You have to die to yourself to overcome that. And you have to pick up your cross. See, the group martyrs you. You're a witness, but the group martyrs you. They put you on the cross. If you go to dialogue, remember it says suspend. You have to. You have to. You have to. This is the formula. If you go to dialoguing the Word of God, you have to put Christ on the cross. You do it. Nobody else has done it for you. You did it. When you go, I feel and I think, in regards to the Word of God. If you don't know, you don't know. God gives you understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding. So anyway, rejecting the lust of others, therefore rejecting the approval and praises of men, enduring their rejection instead, following the Lord, doing the Father's will. The parable of the rocky soils, the rocky soil, the rocks in the soil, that's your friends. Your friendship with others. Now, the cares of the world are the vines, but the rocks are your friends. You will never go deeper into the Word of God than your relationship with others will allow you. All man has to look forward to is, if you reject the Father and the Son, all you have to look forward to, there is nothing else in your life down the road than the lake of fire that's never quenched, prepared for the master facilitator of change and all who followed after him. If you're not following in the Lord, if you're not giving your life to the Lord, that's all you have in the future. Revelation 10:14, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. And the Bible actually in the Greek says hurl. The angels will hurl their souls into the lake of fire. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Psalms 36:1-4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. In other words, how can I get this? How can I get this? He's always devising ways to get his desired outcome. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalms 10:3-4. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous. Now, I didn't cover that in here. Through covetousness, they with feign words make merchandise of you. If I can find out what you're coveting, what you're desiring, what you're lusting of, if I find through dialogue, because a dialogue, that's all Satan did. Through dialogue, he found her desire to touch. If I can find that, I'll own you. I can buy and sell you. So the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Then 1 Timothy 3:2-5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. That's dialogue, a form of godliness. I'm God. But denying the power thereof, in other words, in discussion, God has the authority. From such, turn away. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18, and what concord has Christ with Belial, or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. The money flows through the building. You have to understand, the money flows through the building. I'll leave it at that. You can figure that one out. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, God told Noah's children to scatter, because he'll work in you as an individual. But you build a tower. Now it's I, we, and us. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. People will come to you and say, forsake not the assembly yourself together. Get that scripture and read the rest of it. The rest of it, once you hear the gospel, and you practice sin, there is no hope for you. See, this whole church now is in a dialogue. We don't want to hurt the person's feelings. They say, well, the woman of the well built, or Jesus built relationship with the woman of the well. No, he told her three times she was wrong, but he did it nice. If you're silent when somebody's in sin and you're silent, you don't reprove, correct, and rebuke. You justify in their mind that they're okay. Silence gives consent. If you're silent in the midst of unrighteousness, unrighteousness rules. That was the Protestant Reformation. It means you don't shut up. You keep insisting on the word of God. You know, here comes the judge. Now, the Protestants are silent. They don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. It's not that you get up to hurt somebody's feelings, but the word of God. You're concerned about the lake of fire that is never quenched. Or are you? Does it even enter your mind? Well, this is Satan's agenda. This is his device. You go, I feel and I think before God, and there's judgment coming because you're God before God. It's what God says. What my Father commands, that's what I do. Period. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he's the one who directs your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6.